Good evening. This is Mae Brussel from KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. This is broadcast number 582, January 31st, 1983. Goes so fast, I want to get back to the old year for a while. I've been talking the last 3 weeks and referring to a specific article by Alexander Coburn in the Village Voice, The Pope, Lumumba, and the Kalb Connections, and the allegations of Mr. Coburn as informers of the role of the major news media, the Reader's Digest, Claire Sterling, the Central Intelligence Agency, Langley, Virginia, the Vatican, in using propaganda to stir up an anti-Soviet climate through the story of Agen and the assassination attempt on the Pope. And for the past 3 weeks on the air, I've chronicled in pretty good detail the beginning of the origins of this scandal, and I have a lot more to do. I was going to do another week on that, but I'm going to get back to it hopefully next week. I want to jump now to an article I referred to several weeks ago because I don't want you to lose track of it. It broke in the San Francisco Examiner January the 5th, 1983, and it'll be a month that it's out, and because important decisions are being made in Washington, I thought I should go to this subject right now, and it isn't separate from what we've been discussing the past few weeks on the assassination attempt on the Pope and the propaganda. And the people that I'm referring to in this article tie in directly to that same anti-Soviet stance and a position in Washington, D.C., with a person in power who obviously has no business to have this position, but it seems that the history of our Secretary of the Navy is not so elite as it should be. It's always considered the elite branch of the service. And in dealing with this subject, the Secretary of the Navy, John Layman, and many of you know I've talked about him before, I'm going to do like I did in the last few weeks with the shooting of the Pope and take you back to the parallels of the John Kennedy assassination, because the news that is coming out now relates to those people involved and similarities and similar names going back to Dallas, and I think that you'll appreciate the parallels as we go through them, how the same agencies are using the same scripts to get the same effect, only each time and each year it gets more costly and more deadly, and we'll go into the inflation of the figures if you don't believe that the errors they're making now are more expensive than they were in 1962 and 1963. Now, the article that caught my eye that was so important was in the San Francisco Examiner, and the title of it has to do with the Navy boss's probe. I mentioned this before, 2 or 3 weeks ago. Navy boss's probe, that Secretary of the Navy, John Layman, is it a revolving door or a defense iron triangle? That lead may be a little misleading for such an important article. But this is from the San Francisco Examiner, taken from the Chicago Tribune. James Coates, C-O-A-T-E-S, wrote the article. There's a federal investigation of the present time of Navy Secretary John Layman's affairs. Many of you may have seen him several weeks ago on television. Many of these investigations sit idle, such as the mob connections to Raymond Donovan and other large stories, the drug arrests, drug suspicions in Congress, and then they surface later. But at the present time, in the last month, there's been a lot of stories of Navy Secretary John Layman's affairs. Now, in essence, John Layman, L-E-H-M-E-N, is president of Abington Corporation, A-B-I-N-G-T-O-N-E, Corporation. His brother, Joseph Layman, is co-owner of Abington Corporation. This is a CIA dummy front like McCord Associates at the time of Watergate. It consists of about 8 people, and they splinter off. His wife is also a partner, co-partner in this. And Christopher Layman, the second brother, John's brother Joseph, is co-owner of Abington, and his brother Christopher is employed by Senator John Warner. Now, Warner is one of my favorite people. His estate is right next to Edwin Wilson. John Warner was Secretary of the Navy Edwin Wilson was the head of Navy Intelligence Task Force 157 that set up assassination teams out in Asia, Southeast Asia, and around the world directly linked to Nguyen Bank in 22 different countries. When the Soviet Union, the newspaper in Pravda, Izvesta, accused the United States of using propaganda on the Pope story, and they suggested, as I mentioned last week, go back to the Allende murder and Letelier murder. That ties in with Edwin Wilson. And he was, as I say, directly right next door to John Warner. John Warner was married to the sister of Richard Mellon Scaife. He was part of the Mellon family, married into it, and got a $12 million settlement after that marriage. It seemed to me that it would be a convenience and an excuse to hand to John Warner for particular reasons to continue the espionage operations that he's been heavily involved in continuously. John Lehman was president of Abington. Joseph Lehman was co-owner of Abington, same project, and Christopher worked for Senator John Tower. And I might tell you that these gentlemen are the first cousins of Princess Grace of Monaco. The Secretary of the Navy is the cousin of the late Princess Grace of Monaco. Now, this article refers in the title that revolving door or the defense iron triangle, and the problem is the defense industry, the corporations that make the weapons, the defense industry, releases people who work for them to go to Washington and get into the policy-making decision of what we need or don't need, such as atomic bombs and budgets for weapons, or what kinds of airplanes or ships. Then they leave the Pentagon after they've gotten these lucrative contracts for the persons they work for, and go back to the industry, and men make huge profits after they leave the government. Now, a lot of people go into the government and say, I lose money there because I make more in the business, like Alexander Haig could make $1 million a year at United Technology. But after he gets multi-billion dollar contracts with a corporation, he makes up for the money when he gets out by getting his big salary again. In 1977, John Lehman set up Abington Corporation. He was an advisor at the time to Northrop Corporation. That corporation is now getting 40% of a $40 million contract from the Pentagon. I'm sorry, it's $40 billion. I didn't want to exaggerate a little. It is a $40 billion contract that just went through. He worked for Northrop Corporation on trying to sell the F-18 fighters to the Navy. He tried to sell them while he was working for Northrop, and he was working for Boeing Aircraft, selling planes and missiles to the Pentagon. But evidently he wasn't selling them very well enough, so then he gets a job appointed by Ronald Reagan to the Secretary of the Navy, and then gives the contracts to Northrop and Boeing as a public servant, not selling it on the outside to the people in the Pentagon, but making the decision to buy it from the people he represented before. Now, this article says John Lehman, as president of the corporation, advised Northrop on how to sell the F-18, and he advised Boeing on a salary on how to sell their missiles and planes. So what better way to advise them is to become Secretary of the Navy under Ronald Reagan. In the fall of 1982, he was the major defender of the F-18 and didn't tell the Pentagon that he was still getting, in effect, money from them, from England. It was a settlement fee. We'll get into that. But he gets a job as Secretary of the Navy and defends the F-18, the parts made by Northrop and Boeing after the plane performed poorly in sea trials. They tried it. It didn't work well. Congress wanted to scrap the $40 billion job, and it went through. He defended it. It was an inferior plane. It takes more fuel. It has flaws. He defended it, and on the outside, before it came up to be used, he was trying to sell it, but as the head of the Navy and the procurement of these weapons, he defended it. Now, Joseph Lehman, the brother-in-law of Abington Corporation, was also an advisor to Northrop and Boeing. He had the same position. This firm represented those two companies. Joseph, at the time, was working as public affairs advisor for the U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. That's under Eugene Rostow. If any of you don't know Walter and Eugene Rostow, we'll do another update bio on these particular people. Walter Rostow was the advisor to the National Security Council when Lyndon Johnson had his full-scale war in Southeast Asia. He was also instrumental, as I mentioned before, an update on the Solidarity breaking up labor unions a long time ago in New England. Now, Eugene Rostow is head of arms control so that Joseph Lehman, the brother of John Lehman, works for Eugene Rostow, and he also traveled across the United States to campaign against efforts by Catholic priests to support nuclear and arms freeze. Now, this is very important because while he was going around the country trying to put down those particular Catholic bishops, Vernon Walters of the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, of the Opus Dei, of the CIA, of the Defense Department, was in Rome October 16th, just at the time that the NBC movie was to come out on the Vatican, just at the time that Agen was speaking with CIA agents in Rome, at the time that Claire Sterling was publishing her article in Reader's Digest. The purpose, according to the Soviet Union, of pushing this KGB story against them to try to say that they tried to kill the Pope was to arouse the Catholics, the bishops and the priests who were against the nuclear weapons, to get into the act and realize how bad KGB or Russia was in their stance of Antichrist. And I mentioned that 2 or 3 weeks ago, hinted, you know, about this article, said that I'd be talking about it. So that one brother was an advisor to Northrop and Boeing, who are now going to get the contracts. He's the same brother who works for the disarmament, U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament, with Eugene Rostow, and he is the representative of the Vatican, of the Catholic Order. Now, these are first cousins of Grace Kelly, and remember I referred to the article of Grace being in the Vatican in top secret work in the Basilica at the time that she was killed. This family has strong links to the Vatican. Her marriage was arranged by the Vatican, and they're still supporting the Opus Dei, the reactionary group, by coming down on the anti-nuclear people. So that this brother traveled, Joseph, traveled around the country trying to stop the Catholic bishops from having this stance against the nuclear arms freeze, while his boss, Eugene Rostow, is pushing for the deployment of nuclear weapons all over Europe. Christopher Lehman, as I said, was employed by John Tower of Virginia as a defense expert and staff member of the Senate Armed Services Committee. So the Lehman brothers, John Lehman and his brother Joseph, have this corporation representing Northrop and representing Boeing, and their brother works for Senator John Warner, who was Secretary of the Navy before John Lehman was appointed, and he also is in the Division of Strategic Nuclear Policy. So Christopher is working with Senator Warner on nuclear policy. Joseph is working with Eugene Rostow, putting down the Catholic bishops for not wanting a nuclear arms freeze. And John Lehman, as Secretary of the Navy, is defending the major operation of the F-18, the airplane that was deficient, and Congress wanted to scrap to give to the people that he was hired to represent a $40 billion contract. Now, three other people worked in this office, this dummy front, a military dummy front. One is Richard Perle, P-E-R-L-E, former top employee at Abington after the two brothers. And when Abington temporarily was closed because John Warner became Secretary of the Navy, and then he could get what he wanted anyway, so he didn't need this lobbying office, Richard Perle got a high position in the Pentagon. More than 10 years ago, he was a key defense advisor to Senator Henry Jackson. He's called the senator from Boeing, from out in Seattle. And then he joined Lehman's payroll, representing Boeing and Northrop, which is Henry Jackson's area up in Seattle. And they were squeezed out at the time that the F-111 contract was given in Dallas-Fort Worth, another defective plane I'll go into. They were squeezed out, but Senator Henry Jackson hung in there. So for 10 years, he had Richard Perle on his staff as a defense advisor. Then Perle goes to Abington as he represents Boeing, which is the Jackson contracts from Seattle, and Northrop from the southern L.A. area. And then he goes back into the government as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security and Policy. So once Northrop and Boeing get their contracts, he's back in the government, first with Senator Jackson. And this is important on how our weapons are procured and how the waste goes to these people who made huge profits and use their positions to effect the decision and represent the companies that get the contracts. Then they go back to government to push them more. Another person in the office at Abington, her name is Mary Rose Hughes, H-U-G-H-E-S. She has a high position, in the Pentagon. She worked for Abington in 1979. That went from, it formed in 77, and then in 1982, when John Warner was Secretary of the Navy, he closed up. But several years before, she left Abington to go to Boeing's law office in Seattle. Now, Boeing is soon to get these contracts. She stayed with those lobbyists in Washington. She's Deputy Assistant Secretary of the State for the Environment, Health, and Natural Resources. Now, Richard Mellon Scaife is the man who has funded our James Watt, the man in charge of natural resources and environment. You know that nice Secretary of the Interior. He's the protege of Richard Mellon Scaife, who is the brother-in-law of John Warner. John Warner was married to his sister. So here's an appointment of Mary Rose Hughes from Abington, from the Pentagon, out to Seattle for environment, health, and natural resources, and in the law firm that represents Boeing. Now, the article goes on, the Chicago Tribune article I'm referring to, January the 5th, 1983, by James Coates. He goes into the revolving door problem. He says the District of Columbia had a consulting firm called Abington Corporation. When John Lehman became Secretary of the Navy, he denied that he didn't operate this office any longer. He said it is a holding company to manage market funds that he purchased when he worked for Northrop and other clients, including Boeing. But he said when he was confirmed as Secretary of the Navy, it wasn't an office that was operating anymore. It was a small staff of 8 employees. There was Mr. Perle and Ms. Hughes and John and Joseph Lehman. And he named it after a town, Abington, in Pennsylvania. All the family there were born in Pennsylvania. And John Lehman, in 1974 to 1975, before he became Secretary of the Navy, and in 1977 he opened his office, he was counsel and senior staff member to Secretary of Staff Henry Kissinger. Are these names and stories getting even a little more interesting? One of the Lehmans fighting the anti-nuclear bishops, working for Eugene Rostow. The other one, the Secretary of the Navy, giving contracts to the companies he was paid to get the contracts for. And you taxpayers will pay the money. Don't forget that. And Lehman working as secretary to Henry Kissinger before he opened his firm, 1974 to 75. And he helped with the Ford administration and deputy director of U.S. Arms Control and Disarmament Agency. So there are your links to Henry Kissinger, and that's why I keep reiterating the importance of Fritz Kramer, because he has to be the superior and plans officer of the Pentagon. Then he was over John Lehman all the time that this was going on. If he retired 2 years ago, I'm sure he's still in advising capacity. Now, there's a story in the New York Times by Jeff Girth and Judith Miller, December 25th. And, of course, Jeff Girth is one of the finest reporters in the United States. He's in the same ilk as Seymour Hersh. When Jeff gets onto a story, it's always good. He has a story about Secretary of Navy John Lehman, how he pledged that the company that he had, that Abington, was a consulting company that did not do business with Pentagon contractors. He did, but he hasn't severed his relationships or contacts with them. A member of the House of Lords in Great Britain, British Lord Chalfont, Chalfont, paid Lehman for the right to use the name Abington in March of 1981. He gave him $60,000. In London, you know, is the office of the CIA, Samuel Cummings from Philadelphia, part of the John Lehman crowd and the Princess Grace group, whose offices are in London, but the main office is in Monte Carlo. He's the arms merchant of the world that supplies the Nugenham team that Edwin Wilson and John Warner and so forth are all a part of in Navy intelligence. And, of course, London is where Berta Calvi was hung, where Edwin Wilson was meeting with his various agents, Frank Turple and George Corkula. Corkula didn't even did the security for Scotland Yard. They were so high up. And, of course, London is the home base of John DeLorean. Although his car agency was in Ireland, he flew into Ireland a few times. His base was in London. There's a lot going on in London. Colin Chapman died several weeks ago with his links to the Lotus Car Company, the Panama Connections, and John DeLorean's Swiss bank accounts. I mentioned a few deaths, a few gun merchants, because all of them had a finger in the Grace Kelly, Samuel Cummings, John Lehman family saga. They're not separate. Neither is Henry Kissinger from this or Senator John Warner and the people that they work for, Eugene Rostow. Now, the New York Times article says that Abington, the firm, still continues to consult the American military and contractors. They have the clients, the same clients that Lehman had, and all he gave them was the right to use that name until he comes home. And when he gets out, he may want to use Abington again. So he didn't sell the firm at all. It operates in London by a member of the House of Lords, British Lord Chalfont. And they sit there and send money. They sent $60,000 to John Lehman, which is the amount that he would be getting every month from Boeing and Northrop while he's Secretary of the Navy. So the company is very much active in London with the same clients. Now, the minute he was caught with this inconsistency that the money keeps coming in from Boeing and Northrop, he said that his wife made a mistake on the papers. He blamed Barbara Lehman. She was president of Abington along with him when he was Secretary of the Navy. And it was supposed to be a holding company, and they were supposed to have severed their ties. But he didn't sever it, and he blamed his wife for leaving the word management consulting firm when it was supposed to be technically a holding company for investments, but it's still a management consulting firm. So Jeff Girth wrote about this. He said that he goes into the history of how it was founded in February the 1st, 1977, with only a few people, John Lehman, the president, Joseph, the co-owner, Richard Pearl, Henry Jackson's aide, and he goes into the Mary Hughes connections and the fact that John Lehman was on Henry Kissinger's staff. He studied at Cambridge University and in England. He was there himself. And the office, is a dummy front. It's like when John DeLorean came out to California to set up an office and use his friend Roy Nezeth's phone book, his mailing address or P.O. box, and set up some kind of a dummy front office. This office has no tangible assets. There's some office equipment, used furniture described by Jeff Girth. It's on 1800 K Street in Washington, D.C. It has nothing at all. And out of that little office with a table and a desk representing Northrop and Boeing came our Secretary of the Navy, is again who gives them those contracts. Speaking of Northrop, Mr. Jorgensen from Reagan's kitchen cabinet, one of the men that made Ronald Reagan president, is on the board of Northrop Aircraft. Now, Senator John Tower was notified by the Office of Government Ethics because he's chairman of the Armed Services Committee, and they advised him about the problems with Mr. Lehman that he had promised to sever with Abington and disqualify himself on any Abington clients, which he hasn't done. He's been forcing the contract through, and Lehman claimed he had no connection with the firm, and at the original time he said he would disqualify himself, but it turns out that in the financial statement, 1982, he still owned Abington Corporation and was receiving consulting fees and never disclosed that he was representing Boeing, Northrop, or TRW, who paid him fees before he joined the government. He didn't tell any of them that he was tied to those people when he became Secretary of the Navy. He withheld this from the hearing. According to Jeff Gerth in the New York Times, at no time did John Lehman list his clients, Northrop, Boeing, and TRW. But Richard Pearl from Abington, who later left there to become Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy, he listed his clients, and in connecting Pearl to Lehman, the story broke about Lord Chalfant as Minister of State for Foreign Affairs in Great Britain. He was part of Harold Wilson's party from 1964 to 1970. And out of the Pearl admission, when he was taken into the Defense Department that those were his clients, they connected that his corporation was Lehman's corporation, that in fact Lehman had these people and it just transferred the name to Lord Chalfant, who uses the name but retained Northrop as a client continuously, and checks of payment of $60,000 went to John Lehman, Secretary of the Navy. Now, how does all of this affect us, this kind of chicanery, these people with Rostow and Kissinger and so forth? Well, the first story that came out about this, Navy chief admits their flaws in new plane. This is December 1st, 1982. Secretary of the Navy John Lehman acknowledged that there are range problems with the Navy's costly F-18 fighter bomber, but he said he will recommend full production of the aircraft. He admitted it falls short of flight range speculations, but the contract will go to Northrop, and even though it has flaws, he will recommend it. Another story out of the Houston Post, Navy panel says F-18 jets can be produced to carry bombs if the range goals are met, but a high-level panel recommended, even though they recommended they build it, they have to overcome the problems that they admitted because the test showed that the F-18 failed to meet range goals for carrier-based bombs without refueling in the air. So they admitted, even the Secretary of the Navy, that F-18 has flaws. Then the next series of articles came out, parts to be built overseas in the outside the United States. Not only is a $40 billion contract going to these companies, but there's objections to the fact that we have unemployment in this country. Our steel factories are closing. I don't have to tell you about the automobile, the steel. It says the unions torpedo Lehman in his overseas shipbuilding. He's giving the contracts to South Korea Navy yards and down to Australia. And the article in the Washington Post says the employment in private shipyards was 141,000 when Reagan was inaugurated, and now it's dropped, and to 124,000 it'll go down. The Secretary of the Navy, John Lehman, is going to give these contracts to build the parts to other countries, Australia and South Korea. Then he had another statement in the newspaper following that. This was Washington Post, December the 2nd, 1982. Secretary of the Navy John Lehman said it's too late to stop the fleet buildup. As he's Secretary of the Navy, he wants a five-year, $100 billion plan for the Navy. And he said if you cut the cost of the $1.6 trillion defense fund, you cannot stop these ships. Now, some congressmen are saying that we don't need all these ships and we'd overload with ships. And he is saying it's too late. This is a man, just as I referred to those men, if you can call them men, last week, the liars and propagandists of the KGB story, like Mr. Pipes and Kissinger and so forth. But here is a man that's saying, you can't stop what I'm doing. We're going to have these funds cut somewhere else. This is it. Then another series of articles out. The Navy selects an unacceptable jet. First, Mr. John Lehman, Secretary of the Navy, admitted the plane was defective and had defects. Then there was trouble about building it overseas and not giving the business to Americans. Now the Navy accepts what the headline says, an unacceptable jet. The Pentagon panel, according to Wall Street Journal, will put a full $40 billion complement into the aircraft, and only 2 months before the test declared the F-18 unsuitable for use as a bomber. But they allocated the money to this corporation. There was an effort to kill the F-18. It was defeated in the House just this week, and the Pentagon approved the bomber and the funds for the F-18. Then another story, Lehman at war with the USSR, and he has a long story on his plans of attack of concentrating ships up in the Arctic area. Remember, his cousin Princess Grace was up in the Arctic this summer before she died. Lehman sees Norwegian Sea as a key to Soviet strategy. This is from the Washington Post, December 29th, and it tells how he's going to send these expensive fleets up next to the Kola Peninsula, right next to the Soviet Union, and use a large amount of submarines and cruisers and take millions and billions of dollars as if he is running the war. And he doesn't use the interviews as if it's a past tense. He tells about the battle, where the battle will be fought, and the land air bases, and how we have to be there, and how we have to handle it. And it's not like World War II. And he uses it in the present tense that the war is inevitable. We have to have the war. And this is one of the places up in the northern Arctic where the war will be on. And what is frightening is the assumption that we have to have the war. This is Secretary of the Navy John Lehman. Then another series of articles, Lehman backs the F-18 in spite of drawbacks. Another barrage of articles a week later, the Pentagon funded it, he supports it, and he said we need them and we have to have them all over the world, the F-18 fighter attack plane. And he, again, a few weeks later, he's defending this even though it's an inferior airplane. And the worst part is that these were his clients before he got into the Pentagon and still are. We will take a 1 minute break and get back to the John Lehman saga, which is the American tragedy as far as I can see, and it's all in his hands.